Yes, coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. Welcome to the Coffee Break tonight with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yosef. It's so good to see so many of you, and we are so blessed to be on the Coffee Break this week. And you know what? Happy Sukkot to everybody here in South Africa. I mean, we are already, entering into the third day of Sukkot, which is really crazy because I feel like Sukkot just started yesterday, which it did in a way. And now we're ready, sitting into the third day. You know, these Hebrew days really get you going. So you know what? Happy Sukkot. I hope that you are having a great time. I really miss the fellowship this year, Yosef. It's like, you know, just that fellowship together and that time that we have together. It's so good. And so you know what? I just want to say tonight that we see that some people have problems with the sound. If that is you, please let us know if there is no sound. If there is no sound. You're obviously not going to hear me now anyway, telling you to please refresh your page. But you know what, Yosef, if there's no sound, what happens?
Yeah, so if you got no sound, just check again, you know, obviously what browser you're using. It seems like Mixlr doesn't like to be used by the Internet Explorer. So if you can use maybe a different browser, that might help. But it seems like everyone else is getting it. So maybe just refresh and then try a different browser and hopefully that will work. If not, then you can also just try straight from, I'm not sure how you're doing it, but maybe you can just go straight from the website on the link where it says live and listen from the live player there. If that doesn't work, then just try. I'm going to post the link for you quickly and you can try just using this link and then listening like that. So just give me a second. I'll get you the link and then we can just put it up for everybody in case.
Absolutely. But of course, Yosef, you know, if the person has no sound, they probably didn't hear that. But now you know for next time what to do. And so otherwise, just use that. Of course, Yosef, you know, that link. And now we're having problems on our side.
Sorry. My apologies. There we go.
There we go. And so, you know what? That's what happens when you're trying to help others. I'm just kidding. You know what? But happy Sukkot to you all. And again, like I said, you know what? We're really just missing the fellowship this year. But we know that Abba Father is good. And one of the things that is really comforting is that Yahweh is always with us. He's always, you know, there and we are fellowshipping with Him. And He can make the joy of the season so relevant. It's been so intense because, you know, this year the feasts have felt very solitary, but we know that Yahweh is growing us. We know that Abba Father is doing a work within us, and it's so great. And so tonight we're really going to be getting into the Feast of Sukkot, not telling you a lot about, you know, what you already know, because many of you have been celebrating the feast for many, many years. And we know as we go through it, there's some things that we know, it becomes foundational. So we're not going to be telling you to build your sukkah this year, but we are going to be telling you a few things that Abba Father has laid on our hearts tonight for us to share with you. And it's really going to be a great time together of fellowshipping together. So Yosef, I want to ask you tonight if you will open up in prayer for us and then we can get into it.
Let's do that. You know, Leah, I was just thinking about something. You know, we always talk about the festivals and coming together and celebrating these festivals. And I think it was you this week that sent me a picture of 2020. And I'm just thinking about that picture. And it was of a rubbish bin. And the picture said, "My rubbish bin has gone out more than me in 2020. And I think it's absolutely so true. Because I know that, you know, the festivals, if we don't gather and other times, the festivals is one of those times where you really want to come together with the body of Messiah Yeshua and celebrate these festivals and allow Him to speak to us. So, you know, even though we haven't been able to gather and even though we haven't been able to go out and do the things that we need to do, we thank Yahweh for the ability just to broadcast live and just to be able to fellowship like this. It's a great blessing and it's a privilege. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank You in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua Mashiach, Father, for this festival, Father, this appointed time that has been given to us by You. And Father, we want to pray this evening that as we just speak about what is on our hearts, Father, that You will open up Your word, that Your word, Father, will go forth, Father, as a mighty sword. And we thank You for that, Father. We also pray, Yahweh, that every single one of us, Father, will come with a hungry heart, Father, with hands that are open to receive from you, Father, and that you will fill us in our spirit man, Father, that you will fill us up until we overflow, and Father, that we will understand, Father, what it is that you require of us. What is it that is required of us if we want to be part of that bride, Father, and if we want to sit at that final wedding feast? So, Father, we pray that in the name of Yeshua, that you will just bless this time, bless your people, Father, and give us, Father, hearts to understand and mind to understand and a heart to receive. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know what's so interesting, Yosef? Of course, we know that Sukkot is one of the pilgrimage feasts, and it's obviously the time where Israel would go up, and it's one of those feasts that really, I think, mark this season of joy. And we know that Sukkot is really, it is a season of joy, and it was a season of joy, and it was the season of joy because it was this time where the farming here was done. You know, everything that had been needed to be sown at one stage was sown, and then it grew, and then it was harvested, and then it was brought into the barn. And this feast really fell at the end of that agricultural year. It was that time where the harvest had been gathered into the barn. It was a time where, you know, all the fruit had been collected, all the oil and all the olives used for that oil, it had been pressed. The jars were full. Everything was done. And so imagine, it's almost like, you know what, the work is all done. My work is done. I can now take, you know, part of what I've done, like what they would do, and they would take, you know, animals, and they would take this fruit, and they would take every single thing, and they would just take it, and they would go up to Jerusalem, and they would build their sukkah there, and they would just really celebrate and not only offer the fruit and the agricultural produce at, you know, the temple at that time, but also they would share it with one another, and they would eat of the fruit. And there's so many deep symbolisms in this, and they would share what they had with one another and just rejoice in Yahweh. And what a beautiful reality that really was, just going up to the feast. And it strikes me as something so significant, specifically also prophetically, that this feast is a time of joy, and it's a time of going up. And it's known to many, especially the Jewish people, just simply as the feast, because it is such a significant feast. You know, modern Judaism today, it's not actually, you know, as widely acknowledged. Well, it is acknowledged, but not so widely and deeply celebrated as Passover is. It is celebrated, but Passover is seen as like this highlight. Whereas, you know what, in ancient Israel, this feast was actually that kind of feast. It was just referred to as the feast. And when you said, hey, you know, I'm doing this for the feast, everybody knew which feast you were talking about. It was Sukkot. It was this incredible moment in time where you just knew that everything is done. My work is done, and I've reaped what I've sown, and what I've reaped is good. Because you can only really have that joy and go forth to the temple with joy if you've reaped a good harvest, not so. Mm-hmm. If you have good fruit, mm-hmm. if you have good produce with you. You know, if your fields didn't produce anything that year, Yahweh didn't bless the land with rain, and you didn't have much, it wouldn't really be that joyful. But imagine just bringing all that fruit together. And there's that bearing of fruit that's so significant, and we're going to talk about that this evening. But what strikes me as also important is, think about where this feast falls. It falls after the two most solemn feasts of the whole year. Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur are very solemn and were always, you know, celebrated as such, knowing that Yom Kippur was that time of reflection. Yom Kippur is this time of, you know, just deeply kind of looking into myself and afflicting myself and saying, what's happening? Just hoping, just like the Jewish people do today, that they would enter into something that was good. And but yet there's this feast of joy that falls after all of that, and so prophetic. I mean, we're not even going to get into it tonight, but so prophetic of everything that's waiting for us at the end. You know, the time where Yahweh is going to judge the nations, and what a solemn time that's going to be, because even the Bible tells us that woe to us all on that day. You know what I mean? People expect the day of Yahweh to come and that they're going to be joyful. The Bible tells us it's not going to be a day of joy. You know, of course, yes, we are so excited Yeshua is coming back. But the reality of what this means, the judgment that's going to happen, things that are going to go down, it's not going to be that time of joy. But those who are righteous will then enter into an inverted commas that time that is Sukkot. And then the joy is going to be complete. So it's such a deep picture for us. And this feast, I really believe, needs to be that time where we reflect on that. What does it mean to us? What are we waiting for? Are we waiting, bearing fruit for Yeshua to return? Are we keeping that faith? Are we expecting that joy? Are we looking at ourselves and saying, am I in the faith? You know, what's going on in my life? So that we will partake of that joy when that time comes. So it's such a beautiful reality to just reflect that we are in a season of joy. And I pray that you are feeling joyful today. I pray that, you know, this will be a real season of joy. Sukkot will be a season of joy for you, regardless of what's happened this year. That, you know, we've been through Yom Kippur, we've worked through all those things, hopefully, and now it's a time of joy. And I really pray for that for all of us, Yosef, that this will be a true, not just a week of Sukkot joy, but that we will go out into joy for the rest of the year that lies ahead for us.
Amen. You know, Leah, you're talking about the season of joy, and you're talking about, you know, the produce and how important it was that they would bring of their produce to the temple, to Yahweh's house. And what's important is that this brought a lot of, like you said, it brought a lot of joy because they would be able to bring of what they had. But, you know, on the flip side of that is, like you said, what happens if you did not have a produce? What happens if you look back at your year and you see how barren your year actually was? And you look back and you think, well, you know what? I struggled and things were really difficult and there isn't much of a produce that is there. So, you know, the truth of the matter this evening is that it's a time of joy, but it's also where we have to look at it and say to ourselves, what is it that we have produced throughout this year? And it's not only a year. You know, every time that we get to the festivals, we say the same things over because it's repetition after repetition. But the truth of the matter is every single year, Yahweh is doing something different in our lives. And it's important for us to understand that. So the festivals have been given to us by Yahweh as markers or time periods or kind of like this time where we stop and we take notice of what Yahweh is saying to us for that specific period. For example, Passover is important to us because it talks about our deliverance and our salvation. And I've said this before and I want to say it again this evening before we even go on. We need to understand that as the people of Yahweh, if we want to be His bride and be those that go into this wedding feast, then we have to make sure that we are appropriating every single thing that Yahweh has done through His Son Yeshua in our lives. In other words, we have to make sure that we are living in His salvation and our deliverance, that we are applying that to our lives, that we are being filled by His Spirit, which is the next festivals that we've been given, and making sure that the Spirit is alive inside of us, causing us to want to live out a life of the Spirit of Yahweh in us. In other words, maintaining that fire in our lives is so important, because if we don't do these things, the festivals show us what will happen to a person who only proclaims, like we said last week, you know, I know, or says, you know, I did X, Y, and Z, and Yahweh then will turn around and say, but depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So these festivals have been given to us for what? For our maturing process, so that one day when we stand in front of our King, He will say, well done, my good and faithful servant, come and inherit the kingdom for you. And then we'll go in and we'll be able to celebrate what this festival is all about. You know, this festival, Leah, is not just one day. That's why it's so important. It's a week, because we will be celebrating with our King for a period of time. It's not going to just be a wedding and then it's over. And it's important for us to understand that. So, you know, Revelation chapter 19 in verse 7 talks about, you know, this specific time that Sukkot is all about. And it tells us, and you know, that's why when you said it's about a season of joy, you know, it says in Revelation, it says, let us rejoice and be happy and give Him glory, because it is time for the marriage of the Lamb. His bride has made herself ready. That's what it's all about. It's about the fact that from the time of Passover And as we've gone through every single one of the festivals, we have been making ourselves ready. And Yahweh knows that we are a stubborn and a stiff-necked people, that we take long to get things, to comprehend the depth of His love sometimes, to comprehend the depth of the forgiveness that we've received, to comprehend that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. These things we struggle with as human beings, so Yahweh gives us His festivals to show us on a yearly basis how much He loves us, how much He wants us to grow, and how He wants us to be His disciples. So you mentioned this evening as well, Elia, you mentioned, you know, about the fruit, that this was the time where they would bring their produce. And I want to ask you, as you're listening this evening, maybe this year you've looked back and you said, well, you know what, I had so many plans. And I started off with that little bit of a joke and that picture that I saw that said, you know, I took out my dustbin or my bin more this year than I went out. And maybe you're sitting and saying, well, you know what, my 2020 was planned in my mind, but it turned out totally different. And maybe you're saying, you know, I had great plans to do things for Yahweh and for His kingdom, but these things never happen. And not only for His kingdom, maybe in your own life, you wanted to grow and you wanted to be at a different place than you are now. And you're looking back and saying, well, you know what, this year has knocked me down. This year has kind of, you know, taken my feet out from me. And I'm looking at my life and I don't see that much fruit. The fruit that is there is kind of sometimes stagnant, or sometimes it's a little bit rotten. Sometimes it's not even really the fruits of the Spirit. It's other kinds of fruits. And I want to encourage you this evening that in John chapter 15, it says very clearly to us that it is Yahweh that prunes us if we allow that pruning to take place. You know, on a yearly basis, these festivals have been given to us as a show or a sign to show us what is going to happen in the end. If He when He returns, this is what's going to take place. And if we are not ready, then you might be cut off, or X, Y, and Z might happen. But now, as we're living in this life, we have a chance to live as He wants us to live. We have a chance to mature. We have a chance to bear fruit. We have a chance to be His people. That's what it's all about. So we should be taking every single year as a gift from Yahweh and looking at it and saying, you know what, last year I struggled, but this year I'm going to try a little bit harder. Maybe this year you're struggling, but Yahweh's saying to you, you know what, there's still time for you to do what it says here. Make yourself ready. The preparation to become the bride is not just done 100% from Yahweh. It's done 100% from Yahweh, and it needs to be 100% from us. He gives us His Spirit unconditionally when we ask for it. He gives us this free gift of His Ruach, and it's 100% gift given to us. It's not an 80% fire or a 20% fire. It's 100% fire that He wants to give you. But then it's 100% choice from you to say, you know what, I'm going to live this life that you're calling me to live.
You know what, I will just say, I'm sorry for the squeaky headphones if you can hear them. Sometimes I'm sitting here and I'm sitting so dead still that it's crazy. I'm like a tree, but my headphones are still squeaking. So I guarantee that next week you'll come back and there will be no squeaky headphones, Joseph. There will be a new pair of headphones on my head. Listen, amen. Here. John chapter 15 is so true. So just excuse the squeak. At least you know I'm still here. I'm still alive. John chapter 15 is so significant, Joseph, because you know what? It does say, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And I think that's where it begins. That was where Yeshua began, and that's where we have to begin. Yeshua is bearing all of us. I mean, a grapevine is a really, really big thing. You know, we stay in the winelands in Cape Town, so I mean, we have this terrible sinus every year because they spray in just down the road from us. We have these incredible vines that are growing there. So one grapevine just bears all these incredible branches and the weight of the fruit. So Yeshua is our root. Mm-hmm. He is bearing us, and we are the branches that's coming, you know, from Him. And Yahweh is walking up and down looking at this beautiful vine with all these branches on, and He's going to do what He needs to do. And what's interesting, Yosef, is that grapes in the Old Testament were actually a symbol of the faithfulness of Israel in how they performed Yahweh's work on earth. And so that is so important, because we look at this and we say, you know what, he's the vine, he's the true vine, and I'm the branch. But the grapes that it was born was always a symbol of, is Israel being faithful to Yahweh? Are they performing the works that they are called to do? And the Bible is just so full of scripture that speaks about Israel being, you know, part of that vine, being the vineyard, being everything, and that Yahweh planted Israel. Yahweh planted that vine. And it's so important what you're talking about, because it also says that in verse 2, there's actually two things that happen. It says that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. That's the first thing Yeshua says. Every branch that bears no fruit, and that's not just like him cutting off an arm of us or whatever. The branch is a symbol of the whole person. So if that person is not bearing fruit, the whole person is going to be cut off from Yeshua. The whole person is going to be cut off from the vine and is going to be thrown away. And so that is so important. And then it also says that after he's cut off every branch, it says that, well, every branch that does bear fruit, he will prune. Mm. And actually what's so interesting, Yosef, is the Greek word for prune there actually is the word for clean. He's not saying, actually, of course, it's agricultural term, so yes, he's pruning it. But on the real level that Yeshua is speaking to, he is saying, every branch that is in me, you know, that does bear fruit, I'm going to clean it. I'm going to clean it out. I'm going to make it even more clean so that it will bear even more fruit. And I think that that is the power of that scripture, because the cleaning that he does, it's connected to verse 3, because Yeshua says, you are already clean because I have spoken my word to you. You have heard my word. So you know what? If you don't realize that word prune means clean, you won't realize that Yeshua is connecting the two together. He is saying that he's going to make us clean. If we're bearing fruit, he's going to make us cleaner and cleaner, get rid of those wounds, get rid of those, you know, like it says in Song of Songs, those little foxes that ruin the vineyards. You know, he's going to get rid of those things in our lives. He's going to clean us out so that we can bear more and more fruit. And that is such a beautiful picture that he's showing us. He's not just going to leave us there. He's going to clean us out.
No, Leah, I was looking at some things this afternoon as we were preparing. And, you know, pruning is defined in the following way. It says, pruning is a horticultural and silvicultural practice involving the selective removal of parts of a plant, such as branches, buds, or roots. And the reasons to prune plants include dead wood removal, shaping by controlling or directing growth, improving or maintaining health, reducing the risk from falling branches, preparing nursery specimens for transplanting, and both harvesting and increasing the yield or quality of flowers and fruits. The practice entails targeted removal of disease, damaged, dead, non-productive, and structurally unsound parts of that tree. So what he's doing is he's removing the parts of us that seem to be diseased or damaged, or the places where we struggle to grow. And the reason that he wants to do this is he wants us so that we can be protected, because it says there, reducing risk from falling branches. He wants us also to be able to be transplanted. In other words, be able to reproduce. In other words, be able to go out and make more disciples. That's what it's about. That's why he says to his very disciples, he says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. So he was telling his disciples that, you know what, I'm giving you what you need, but I want you to bear fruit in season and out of season. And that fruit that you're going to bear is going to be used to help others to come to the knowledge of who I am. Mm-hmm. And you know, it reminds me as well of a scripture, and I want to read the scripture to you. I think it's in Galatians, where it says that, Galatians 5:16-26, it says, they bring forth the fruits of the kingdom of Yahweh who bring forth the fruit of the Spirit and not of the flesh. So it's so important that we understand that there is this kind of a conflict between the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the flesh. And what he's saying to his disciples is, I have given you everything you need for life and godliness, but I've also given you my Spirit that will produce in you, as you continue to remain intimately with me, will produce in you this fruit, the fruits that will produce the kingdom life within you. And that's what the world needs to see. They need to see me, and they need need to see that you are ambassadors of my kingdom. That's what the bride is all about. The bride is about living in that kingdom of their father and showing the world whose they are.
It's so true, and I love this, Yosef. It's such a good conversation that we're having. I think that we're going to go to our very first song for the evening because it's going to be a great song. This is Baruch Adonai. Enjoy the song, and when we get back, we're going to continue our conversation.
Baruch Adonai, Elohim Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Baruch Adonai, Elohim Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Min ha'olam, but ha'olam, praise His name forever and again. Min ha'olam, but ha'olam, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. Sing and praise Him, and Israel will say Amen. Sing all you nations Hallelujah, and Israel will say Amen. So let the nations sing and praise Him, and Israel will say Amen. Sing all you nations Hallelujah, and Israel will say Amen. And Israel will say Baruch Adonai, Elohim Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Baruch Adonai, Elohim Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Min ha'olam, bat ha'olam, praise His name forever and again. Min ha'olam, bat ha'olam, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. Praise Him, and Israel will say Amen. Sing all you nations Hallelujah, and Israel will say Amen. So let the nations sing and praise Him, and Israel will say Amen. Sing all you nations Hallelujah, and Israel will say Amen. And Israel will say Bat ha'olam, praise His name forever and again. Min ha'olam, bat ha'olam, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. Hey! So let the nations sing and praise Him, and Israel will say Amen. Sing all you nations Hallelujah, and Israel will say Amen. So let the sing and praise Him, and Israel will say Amen. Sing all you nations Hallelujah, and Israel will say Amen. Baruch Adonai, Elohim Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord.
You know, Yosef, I remember many, many years ago, make me sound old, but I do remember many, many years ago, I used to love that song. And every time we had a celebration, this was before I met you, every time we had a celebration, myself and my friend Colette, we would just dance around like crazy people to that song with our tambourines.
That song played at our wedding.
Did it play at our wedding, that's that right. Song? Yeah. When?
When the party was on.
were we dancing around as well?
Yep.
Oh, wow. You know, Yusuf, then it wasn't that long ago. But you know what? Even before then, maybe that's why it was playing in our wedding. It was just one of those songs that always makes you really excited. I forgot that it played at our wedding, and that's amazing. But anyway, welcome back to the coffee break. And you know what? Sukkot is just such a great time. And I think that that song just wrapped it up for me. It's amazing. And you know what? We're talking about John 15 right before we went to the song. So I still want us to stay there a bit because it's so incredible. Yeshua is saying that it's all about bearing fruit and that he's the true vine. His father is the gardener, that he's going to cut off the branches that don't bear fruit. And that those that do bear fruit, just like we were saying, he's going to prune them, which means that he's going to clean them so that we will be even more fruitful. And that Yeshua then went on to tell them that you are already clean because of the words that I've spoken to you. Now we know Yeshua was with them physically. He hasn't been with us physically. So we have to be in his word. We have to be completely in the scriptures to be, you know, receiving and to be cleansed and to be really getting into that. But he really talks here, Yusuf, and he says that, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And that's such a deep reality because it's about that relationship, that intimate relationship where we are remaining in Yeshua and he is remaining in us, and then we'll bring forth that fruit. Now I'm not going to read all the verses, but you know what? Yeshua actually mentions some very, very specific fruit right here in John chapter 15 that he says that you will actually bear if you remain in me. And we will probably be astounded, or maybe not so much, but some people might be astounded to see that the very first fruit Yeshua talks about in John 15 that we should be bearing if we remain in him is love. It's actually love. It's such a deep love. And he's not just talking about love for Yahweh. He's actually talking about love for others. And that is part of the very first fruit that Yeshua wants us to bear. And the other one is, of course, prayer. Ask anything from me and you will receive it. He's talking about bearing the fruit of having a prayer life. Now, that's got to really, really take us to basics and say, Yusuf, Aaliyah, or anybody else that's listening, or anybody else that can say to themselves, is your life a prayer life? Mm-hmm. Is that a fruit that you bear? Do you bear a fruit of prayer? Are you ready and willing to pray for others? You know, and I think that, you know, for me, I know that years ago when people ask you and they say, will you pray for me? You know, or they say, when you have time, please pray for me. That's normally what people say. They normally say, you know, when you can, please pray for me. Or, yeah, well, you know, there is this thing and this is what it's about. Just pray for me. But they don't, they're not asking you to pray for them right there. They're just saying, you know, just pray for me. And, you know, yesterday we had fellowship and we had people over and we were just in such a beautiful, joyful time. And we were heading out the door. All of us were heading out the door to all go our separate ways and go home. When someone turned around and said, you know what, when you can, please pray for me. And we were just, I was just like, you know what, just close that door. Just close the door. Just close the front door. We just come back inside because we don't have to leave. We're going to pray for you right now. We are all going to pray right now. And I think that that comes through the process of just deeply maturing to not allow someone to walk out the door that has a need on their heart saying, okay, you know what, when you can, maybe tomorrow, maybe in the week, maybe when you're not busy, maybe before you go to bed, please pray for me. No, I'm going to pray for you right now. And I think that that's a fruit that we need to bear in our lives. People really need prayer. Yeah. People want prayer. They want us to pray for them. But instead, sometimes we're like, okay, we'll pray for you next week. And then we forget. And so Yeshua is saying one of the fruits that we need to bear is that fruit of prayer. And then he says, yeah, Yusuf, so clearly, actually, the fruit that he wants us to bear is fruit of obedience to the commandments of Yahweh. Now, I've just got to stop right there and just think to myself that if you're a branch that is not bearing obedience to the word of Yahweh, to the Torah of Yahweh, to the commandments of Yahweh, to the holy things of Yahweh, then I'm just not sure if you're going to remain in the vine.
You know, Aaliyah, when you know, what's so important is it's so amazing how Yahweh's word confirms everything that he says to us. He says there in John chapter 15 that you have to be obedient to his commandments. And you know, in Revelation, that passage of scripture that we started with, it says something interesting too. It says, remember, they are the ones who have the white garments, or they have been making their garments white. And we've spoken about that so many times, what it says in Revelation 22:14, how we make our garments right, or how we make our garments white, is by keeping the commandments of Yahweh. And if you go back and you go back to Psalm chapter 1 and you read what Psalm 1 tells us, it says very clearly there too that such a person who keeps the Torah of Yahweh, that they will have fruit in its season. They will yield fruit in its season, and their delight will be in Yahweh's commandments and in his Torah. So he's telling his disciples, you know what, you've already been made clean, but now I want you to obey my instructions that I'm giving you, and I want you to continue to obey these things so that you can bear the fruit. And like you say, the first fruit that we have to bear, and that's where I think people get it so confused. Oh, well, if I just love. But the truth of the matter is, you love, and because you love, you will keep my commandments. So without love, it's impossible to keep the commandments. Yahweh has given us his love, and the love for him, and the love for others, so that we can love one another, yes, and so that we can love him, but also so that we can obey through love, and not through our religious ideas, but saying, I love my Father so much, I want to do what he has called me to do, because I want to be part of that bride. I want to be part of those who are going to eat and sit at that table with him. That's what it's all about. And what's important too to understand is that, you know, Sukkot, like you said, is about bearing that fruit, but it's also about, you know, different kinds of things that we are supposed to, we commanded to wave before Yahweh. And it's all taken from trees. It's taken from different kinds of trees. And you know, Psalm chapter 1 tells us that we will be like trees planted beside streams of living water. Those who obey Yahweh's commandments, those who separate themselves, again, holiness, separate themselves from those who are scoffers, those who are in the world, those who are doing things that are not right, those who are defiling their garments, those who are living in their flesh and producing fruits of the flesh. We have to separate ourselves from such things, and we have to choose a different path. Not a path that leads to destruction, not a path that leads to self-gratification or things that we want now. We have to choose the path that is sometimes difficult, that leads us down that narrow path that leads us to the source of life. And it's not an easy walk, Elia. We must be honest this evening. Anybody who comes to you and says, well, you know what, just get saved and life's going to be easy, is lying to you. Mm-hmm. Because it's not going to get easy, but you're going to have the strength through Yeshua to get through. And he wants us to know that, so that at the end, like I said, he's going to turn around and say to you, and that's something that we need to understand. Yahweh and Yeshua are looking at his body, and he is the gardener. And what does a gardener do? A gardener goes out and inspects the fruit, goes and checks to see, has my trees produced fruit? And if they're not producing fruit, they are worthless. They're there, but they're not doing anything. They're just taking up space. So he cuts them down and he gets rid of them. That's why it's so important that as believers in Messiah Yeshua, that we become fruit inspectors like our Father is a fruit inspector. Meaning that we have to discern by the Spirit of Yahweh if things that we're being taught, things that we have learned, things that we have studied, things that we have been told, if this is really the truth of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Because again, it says, you shall know them. You shall know a false teacher. How? Not by the way he dresses, not by his Bible, not by his knowledge, but by his fruits. By the fruits of he or she and the things that they do, you shall know whether they are serving me or whether they are serving another. So it's important that we become, as I said, not people who are judgmental, but people who are fruit inspectors, inspecting the fruit that we see in the lives of others. And not only in the lives of others, when we stand and when we look at ourselves, we have to examine our own lives. Mm-hmm. And at the end, Yahweh is going to say to you, I've come because I want to see what harvest you have produced, what fruit is in your heart. What kind of fruit have you got? And like you said, is there an apple of love? Is there a banana of obedience? Do you understand what I mean? Are these things evident in your life? Do you have different kinds of fruit, or are they all just one? Are you just love, 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 and no obedience? Or are you all obedience and no love? Mm-hmm. These are very important things that we understand. There are so many people today in the body that are so obedient, but they lack the love to actually go out there and change a world that is so lost. And then you have others that are saying, well, you know what? I just love Yeshua and everything's fine, but they are not willing to separate themselves from the things of the world that defile them. So they do everything that the world does because they just want to be loved. And they want to love, but they're actually walking down a wrong path.
I love the vineyard that you have, Yosef. I love that it's bearing bananas. I need to find this tree, this the one, the banana tree. You know what? The other fruit that Yeshua really mentions in John 15 is a pawpaw of joy. Not, he doesn't say pawpaw. I say the pawpaw, but he says joy. One of the fruit that we are to bear, Yosef, is joy. And I almost feel as though there needs to be an exclamation mark behind this one, because sometimes we don't meet joyful believers. Why don't we have joy? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. If there's this negativity, if there's this mindset of negativity, if there's this moaning, if there's everything is hard, if the glass always half empty, I've got to ask then, what kind of fruit are you bearing? Because we have to have the fruit of joy. And that's what Yeshua actually says. He says it in John 15, that there has to be love, prayer, obedience, and joy. And you know what? Even 2 Peter 1 goes on deeper to the other fruits, because these aren't just the fruits that we are to bear. We know Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit as well. But 2 Peter 1 actually speaks about the fruits that we also are to bear from verse 5, which says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance add godliness, to godliness add brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness add love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure," which means that you might start off having maybe perseverance in a small measure, you may have a very small fruit. But if you possess these and they are increasing in measure, in other words, you know what, you are staying in the vine and you are growing, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Messiah Yeshua. But if anyone does not have these, he is nearsighted and he is blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed. Oh my goodness, there it is. You know what Yeshua says? You know, I'm pruning you to make you clean. If we don't have these things and they're increasing, love, brotherly kindness, perseverance, self-control, you know what, godliness, knowledge, all of these things, and they're not growing and increasing in us. We get, you know what, we can start off with a measure of these things 10 years ago. But if we can look back now, you know, 10 years ago and see us ourselves and we go, okay, I have small of these things. But 10 years now, you know, after that, we should have bigger of these things. We should have more of these things. Otherwise, we are ineffective and we are unproductive. And what's the purpose and the point of that? And you know what? That is what it should be about, Joseph. It should be that we have these fruits. And that's the thing about staying in the vine. We have these fruits and we need to be bearing these fruits, but they should be growing fruit. We shouldn't have just a small apple on the tree and be happy with a small apple.
You know, Lee, I think it's important that we each ask ourselves every time that we get to this festival specifically is, do I produce godly fruit? Am I producing godly fruit, like you said? And is that fruit increasing in my life? Because it's so important that we understand, you know, that so many times we say that we're doing the things that Yahweh wants, but are we really fulfilling what he asks us to do? Are we doing the Great Commission, or do we just speak about it? For example, you know, and the truth of the matter is that the fruit that we bear speaks volumes of our character. And the character that we have has to be changing from, in other words, we were once in darkness and now we are in light, but we are in a measure of light from in the beginning. And as we grow with the Father, what happens is exactly what we've been speaking about. We go down that narrow path that leads to life, or leads us back to the source of light, which is Yahweh himself. It's a return to the way that it was. So in the beginning, we have a little bit of understanding of who we are as sons and daughters in Messiah Yeshua. We know that we're saved. We would refer to ourselves as saved people. But as we grow and as we mature, the goal of our walk is to become a son or a daughter that reflects a disciple. And that's what it's about. So in the beginning, we start off and our characters are flawed. Our vision is flawed. The way that we see ourselves is sometimes marred. So Yahweh comes and through the power of His Spirit, and as we yield to His Spirit, and as we yield to His voice, and through obedience and love, these things begin to change. So we don't have Yeshua standing right in front of us like the disciples had, speaking into our lives. Yes, we have His Spirit and we hear His voice. So it's important that we apply the truths of the Word, the commandments and the instructions found in the Word, so that we too, as it says, can be renewed. By the renewing of our mind and through reading the Word, we are being cleansed on a daily basis. Mm. So by doing this, and it's so important that we understand too that, you know, we always refer to Torah and then we think, oh, okay, the first five books. But the Torah says the instructions and guidelines of Yahweh given to His people. It's from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, and everything including the words of Yeshua spoken to His disciples. Mm. Because the words that He spoke to His disciples was the words of the Father. So the Father, He says, I speak nothing except that which is given to me by my Father. So when He speaks, we should be listening. So when He says, go and love your brother, it's a commandment given by our Father through the Son to mm-hmm. us. And it's important that we understand this. So our character is, in the end of days, your character is what's going to speak volumes. The world looks at you and they see straight through us if we have a messed up character. They see straight through us. But if our character is being refined, if it's been pruned, if it's been changing on a daily basis and yearly basis, then people will begin to see the same characteristics in our lives as the characteristics of Yeshua, who was portraying the very characteristics of His own Father. Mm. And that's what the Torah is all about. If we stop and we really understand that the Torah is not just instructions, it's the very will and character of a loving Father to His people. So when we keep these commandments, we are actually keeping the character of our Father, and we are living that out in this world.
Mm. You know what, just to connect this again with Sukkot, verse 8 says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Mm-hmm. When we think of this bearing of the fruit, we often sometimes think, we turn towards ourselves and we say, how should I be bearing this fruit, or what can I be doing to bear this fruit? You know, am I bearing these kind of fruits? And these are good reflections, good questions to ask. And we shouldn't get down on ourselves when we maybe don't have the joy. You know, sometimes we guilt trip ourselves, and guilting is not of Yahweh. Mm. You know, His Spirit convicts us. Guilt, shame, fear, it's not of Abba Father. And so we don't need to guilt ourselves or fear ourselves or learn to shame ourselves. You know, we can come openly before the Father, because when we speak about our things, when our truths begin to become real to Him, you know, He breaks that shame. So we can say, am I bearing these fruit? If I'm not right now, Abba Father, help me bear this fruit. Because it's this beautiful reality that think about that agricultural time that we started speaking about this evening. We spoke about how it was this time, Sukkot was this time where the farming was done. The harvesting was done. Everything had been gathered, and they would go up to the temple. But think about how Abba Father had made the rain fall that year. He had made the rain fall. He had made the sun shine. He had, you know, brought a blessing on the land so that the harvest could become fully mature, so that it could be gathered, so that it could be drawn into the barn, so that it could be used. It was so mature that it could be used, because the purpose of fruit is not just to gather it and put it into a barn. It's to be used. The purpose of wheat was to be made into bread. The purpose of fruit was to be hopefully made into a delicious fruit salad. You know, there's a purpose for that fruit. And the purpose for the fruit that we bear is to bless other people, is to be a blessing to the body of Messiah. But it's actually ultimately to glorify Yahweh. Yeshua says that when we bear fruit, when we bear love, you know what? Yahweh is glorified. And also, He's not just glorified because what we're doing is so supernatural and spiritual. He's also glorified because He makes the rain fall in our lives, but He also makes the sun shine in our lives. He takes us through our trials, and He also helps us get through it. He protects us, and sometimes He lets us go through the fire in order so that we can be further refined. Yahweh is always at work in our lives. There will be times of nurturing where He nurtures the blossoms that are on us, kind of like what, you know, a gardener would do with blossoms that come out on branches. Yahweh nurtures those. He takes care of them. He protects it. He blesses it. You know, He blesses us with the rain. He blesses us with the sun. So how much more when the, like we always refer to, and often in the Old Testament, Yahweh is referred to as Lord of the harvest. He is the God of the harvest. And how much is He glorified when there is beautiful mature fruit that is being picked and brought into the barn, presented at His temple so that there can be a fullness of joy. You know, right at the end as well, He'll be glorified when He sees His righteous people before Him, and we come and we present everything before Him that we've done upon this earth. When we lay it all down, those that have maybe died as martyrs, you know, they lay that down and say, I didn't even love my life, Yahweh, even until the death. This is Yours. I bore the fruit of obedience to You. How full is Yahweh's heart? We see His heart swell with joy and goodness when Israel do the right thing. In the Old Testament, it's all over how Yahweh's heart is joyful and happy, and he is just it's described as in a place of love and joy when He sees His people performing faithfulness and bearing the fruit that He called them to bear as His treasured possession in all the earth, is what He said. So how much more is He glorified in our lives when we stay connected to Yeshua, we stay part of the vine, and we bear this beautiful fruit, and we just can bear this fruit in all the seasons of our lives that He takes us through, whether it's sometimes a tough season, whether it's sometimes, you know, a good season. And just recently, you know, the father dealing with a very, very severe disappointment, and lovingly the father said to me, do you still believe My heart is good towards you? Do you still believe My heart is love towards you? And I said to Him, yes, I do. And that took away that sting of disappointment, severe disappointment. But you know what? Just knowing that our Father's heart is love towards us, and He brings the rain, He brings the sun, He brings it all so that He can show us His love. And so I really pray tonight that you will know that our Father wants to bring forth fruit in you, and that you want to bear that fruit so that He can be glorified. Yahweh can be glorified and lifted up in this earth. And so I pray tonight that that will be your portion. And so we're going to go to our final song for the evening by Chris Tomlin. But before we do that, I just want to also say, if you have any prayer requests, to please put them down. We would love to pray for you. If there's no prayer request, we will still pray when we get back. But if you do have, please put it down during the song. We'll pray when we get back.
When I consider what You have made, the mighty oceans, the fiery stars, the fields and forests give You praise, my Lord, my God.
My God, and I stand in
all glory, all honor, all worship and all praise, all blessing, all power, how worthy is your name, all glory, all glory, all honor, all worship and all my praise, all blessing, all blessing, all power, all power is yours, all the power is yours, and I stand in awe, I stand in awe, I stand in awe of you.
Father, tonight we just want to say thank you, and we truly do stand in awe of your goodness. We stand in awe, Father, of the way that you love us and the way that you draw us closer to you. And Father, this evening I want to pray for every single person that as they continue to celebrate this festival, Father, that you will draw closer to them. Yeah. And Father, that their hearts will be changed, that their lives will be renewed, that their spirit, Father, inside of them, Father, will be set ablaze again. And Father, that as we look forward to your soon return, I pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, Yahweh, that we will be found ready, that we will be found, Father, bearing the fruit that you desire us to bear. But more importantly, Father, not just bearing it and allowing it to rot, Father, but instead bearing it and going out into the world and making a difference, letting others know whose we are, Father, revealing you to the nations and revealing you to our society and to the people around us, Father, living the life that you've called us to live, being a disciple, Father, and sharing about our Father, about the one who has set us free. And we thank you for that, Father. We also want to pray in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you will just continue to bless every single person that is here this evening. Father, if they are going through anything in their life, I pray, Father, tonight that you will lift their spirits up in Yeshua's name. And Father, I also want to pray, Yahweh, that you will continue, Father, as this year has been difficult for many of us, Father. Many things have taken place. We pray, Father, that you will continue to keep us in the palm of your hand, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, that you will continue to supply our every need, that you will continue, Father, to share your truth with us, that you will not be far, Father, when we cry out to you, but instead that you will draw closer to us and that you will speak to our hearts. We pray for this, Father, in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua Mashiach. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on the coffee break tonight. It's been so great to spend this time with you, to celebrate Sukkot with you. We pray that whatever you are doing the rest of this week will be so blessed. Those that are celebrating with loved ones, with friends, how special, how beautiful at this time. We pray that it will be such a blessed time. Those of you who are, you know what, celebrating with your family or just being in an intimate time with Yeshua, may it be such a blessing to you, because that is so special as well. And we will see you next week on the coffee break. Have a Shavua Tov, and take care of yourselves, take care of one another, take care of your families, and may Abba Father just richly bless you. Until next week, Shalom, Shalom.
Shalom.
like to hear this in Hebrew. Hallelujah. Sarah Lieberman, we love this song.